Well, it's getting closer to Easter time, and we're starting to see pictures like this popping up around us. And whenever I see a picture like this, I think of a famous proverb that we always have, that you shouldn't count your chickens before they hatch. Well, kinda. That is a proverb that you can use in that. I just thought about this this morning, so I added it in there. But the one I thought of this week is what? Don't put your eggs all in one basket, right? And I like that proverb because we've been studying Proverbs here. And, of course, you have this proverb that's behind this picture, don't put your eggs in one basket. And, of course, whenever I come up with the proverb this last several weeks, I've been having to look up who said this first. Where did it come from? What's kind of the basis for this? Very interesting where this phrase comes from, eggs in one basket, comes from a man called Miguel Cernovich. Miguel, we'll just use his first name. He wrote the book Don Quixote. Now, you guys probably know what Don Quixote, the famous poem, famous book, made into a play. But it was written in that book, Don Quixote. It says this: it is part of a wise man to keep himself today for tomorrow and not to venture all his eggs in one basket. Kind of like that idea from Don Quixote, how we shouldn't venture for today what's tomorrow, because we shouldn't kind of put all our eggs in one basket and should not think too highly of oneself or be so confident in our abilities that we kind of forget about what's happening today. And because someone might come along and put you in place, so to speak. And so this proverb comes along because if you do put all your eggs in one basket, what's inevitable to happen? They might all crack. Now, they didn't all crack in here, but you see the picture there of the eggs cracking there. Well, several weeks ago, back in January, we started this quest. Again, Don Quixote quest. I love it. Started this quest on learning about proverbial wisdom from the book that Solomon wrote, of the book of Proverbs. And so far, we've learned a lot of proverbial wisdom from this book. But one of the first things I did in our study of Proverbs was define it. And you might remember back in week one, I put these definitions up on the board, on the slides, on what is Proverbs. And I defined it three different ways here. It's all kind of the same thing. But I said a proverb is a short sentence drawn from long experiences. That's what it is. It's a short, pithy saying in general use, stating a general truth or piece of advice. Again, another great definition. And, of course, the final definition is a traditional saying or phrase that expresses a perceived truth. And so all these define what a proverb is. And so far in the book of Proverbs, we've seen exactly, well, maybe I think we've seen one, maybe a couple. But we haven't seen a whole lot of these short, pithy sayings, right? I mean, we've been studying the book of Proverbs here for 4 or 5 weeks now. And what have we learned? We looked at the author of this book, Solomon, arguably the wisest man in the world who ever lived, who wrote this book to teach his children how to live, how to be wise, how to have that wisdom that he himself was given, he was passing on to his children. And we saw that in chapter 1, that this was written to his son to avoid peer pressure there in chapter 1. And to follow the Lord and have that fear of the Lord. That's kind of one of those main phrases in the book of Proverbs, having that fear of the Lord guiding you and directing you in your life. So we saw, and next week, we saw the benefits of wisdom, including health and wealth and long life, prosperity, filling God's path, that straight and narrow path, that God will make our path straight, Proverbs 3. Then we looked at the wisdom of sexual purity and how he wanted his children to be sexually pure and not to fall after those prostitutes or the adulterous woman, chapters 4 and 5, I believe. And last week, we talked about how wisdom can be personified and how it can be made into a person and what wisdom might tell us if wisdom could use human word and speak. And I think, and that covers, like I said, the first 9 chapters of this book that we've looked at so far, but very few short, pithy sayings or pieces of advice. I mean, these were more long, drawn-out allegories or metaphors. These are stories about how to live a correct life. And that's what I think is most surprising if you come to Proverbs for the first time and you think, oh yeah, they're Proverbs, these short little sayings. And you start reading the first nine chapters, and there are very few short little pithy sayings trying to tell us about that. Well, all that's going to change today because we've got to chapter 10. And starting in chapter 10 all the way through chapter 22 is Solomon speaking these short pithy sayings. And I found this last week, and I'm not sure if this is a coincidence or not. I'm still kind of hesitant, but I found this in several places in several different commentaries. But from chapter 10, verse 1, until chapter 22, verse 16, which ends the sayings of Solomon, it says, following that is some other sayings as well, there are 375 verses. 375 verses. Okay, that's good. But did you know each of those verses have a single proverb in it as they are divided up? So 375 verses, 375 proverbs in those 375 verses. And the cherry on the cake is that the letters of the name Solomon, if you'd add them together, add up to 375. Now, again, I'm not sure if you've realized this or not, but in Hebrew, the letters not only stand for letters, like in our alphabet, A, B, C, D, D, but in Hebrew, the letters of the Hebrew alphabet also stand for numbers. So Aleph, which is the first letter in Hebrew alphabet, stands for A, but also 1. Bet, which is the second letter, stands for 2. Gimel, 3. All the way on up to 10, and then when it gets to 10, then it goes to 20, 30, 40, 50, all the way up to 100. Then the next letters go up to 100, 200, 300, and I think there's 400 is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet there. And then, of course, they combine those together for names. And if you add up the names, the letters in the name of Solomon, the Shin for Solomon S, which is 300, it all adds up to 325. So again, some commentary says, oh, this is not a coincidence. This is definitely a thing that they put in here, that when they gathered these 3,000 proverbs and just picked out 375 of them, put them in these verses, and they didn't separate them out as verses because that was later on in history, but they all add up to 375. So coincidence or not, that's what we see here. But needless to say, all these proverbs, these 375 that we're going to look at this next several weeks, is all mixed together. They're not just in order saying, oh, we're going to talk about being a fool first. We're going to talk about pride first. We're going to talk about this. And they're not divided up that way. It'd be much easier, much better outline and for sermons like me if it was that case, but just not the case. You do have to read through sections of Proverbs that some of them have some that are a little bit connected, some familiarity, but mostly it's just kind of a proverb here, then another topic, another proverb, then another topic, and then and it just is different. And so if you read through the section of Proverbs, you know what I'm talking about. Let me give you kind of an example. I'm going to read just the first 10 verses of chapter 10 to kind of give you an idea of all these 175 or 375 Proverbs here. Proverbs 10, starting in verse 1, says this, "The Proverbs of Solomon," and he starts off, "A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son, grief to his mother. Ill-gotten treasures are of no value, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but thwarts the cravings of the wicked. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands brings wealth. He who gathers a crop in summer is wise, as a wise son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. Blessings crown the head of the righteous, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the righteous will be a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. The wise in heart accept commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. A man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes a crooked path will be found out. He who winks maliciously causes grief, and a chattering fool comes to a ruin." Again, 10 different verses, 10 different proverbs, 10 different almost 10 different subjects. There are a few things, because it talks about being wise and foolish. It talks about the proper gain of money. It talks about the consequences of a righteous life versus a wicked life. It talks about the consequences of being lazy. There's a couple of verses about being lazy in there. Blessings and cursings, righteous and wickedness again. It talks about speaking versus listening. And it talks about integrity in the last couple of verses there. But there are just a scattering of topics here. All different things, all different topics. And so I've tried to, in my own studies, try to gather these all up and decided I'm going to preach on about 8 different topics over these next 8 different weeks, okay? I picked one topic each week. We're going to skip over a couple for Easter, but for the next 8 weeks, I've got 8 topics that we're going to talk about. And the first one goes back to this illustration picture of the basket with its eggs, where if you keep all your eggs in one basket, if you keep that all together, kind of as a kind of like that stepping stone, it refers to pride. And so we're going to look at the word pride this morning. We're going to talk about other topics in the weeks to come, but we're going to talk about pride. We're going to ask the question, what is pride? Where do you find it? Or how do you know what it is? And what is God's response to pride? And so we're going to look at this question this morning, these 3 questions, and find the answers in the book of Proverbs. So the first question that we're going to look at this morning is, what is it? What is pride? But before I answer that question, why did I choose the word pride to be my first topic? I mean, again, there are all kinds of orders of topics here in Proverbs, and I'm not even sure if I picked the top 8 in Proverbs. I just said, okay, I'm going to, there's a lot of topics in Proverbs. I could have probably choose 15 of them if I would have really, really dug deep, but I thought I chose pride first. But I thought I chose pride first because of that famous saying that sometimes gets misquoted. Now, a few weeks ago, I told you that famous saying that we often misquote in Proverbs. We say that pride goes before the fall, usually. That's kind of the misquote. And I remember there was a time back in college. I was in college when I first realized this, because I was sitting around with a group of kids and students there, me being one of them, and we were talking for something. I can't remember what we were talking about, but I happened to say, pride comes before the fall, because of someone being proud or something. And a guy took me aside and said, hey, you shouldn't say that, because that's actually not scriptural. That's not in the Bible. If you want to know what that scripture says, you better go look it up yourself. And it was an upperclassman. I respected him. So I said, okay, I thought I quoted it right. I've grew up in church. I knew what the Bible talked about, but I looked it up. And it comes from Proverbs 16:18, and I told you this before, that it actually says pride goes before destruction. It's a haughty spirit before a fall. And so I from then on, I just learned, hey, this is the way he told me to do this, kind of helped me remember. Hey, this is a good way of remembering this. And so I try to make sure I correct people that quote this very, very kindly, and let them know that, hey, this is not the right way what thing is. So what is pride then? That's our first question. Okay? Well, pride, first of all, is it a good thing or a bad thing? Sometimes, actually, you might be surprised, it's not always a bad thing. We'll see that this morning, because there are actually several, probably 5 or 6 words in the Hebrew language that are translated pride or haughty spirit or arrogant or those kind of things. And there are one passage or a couple passages as we're here this morning that treat pride as kind of a benefit. And there's actually a word there that we're going to look at this morning. I talk about the benefit or the good thing about pride. Let me take you to this. Proverbs 17:6 says this: children's children are a crown to the aged. Parents are the pride of their children. Now, this is a very interesting proverb, because it talks about how grandchildren are the pride of people of the grandparents, but the children take pride in their parents and how good this is. It should take pride in having that idea of our parents, taking pride in them. And I wish I could have more context on why Solomon said this proverb, but we don't. Again, this is just one proverb out of, if you look at the words before and the words after, don't really have anything to do with pride or the good things about pride. We just have this idea that, grandchildren are the pride of their grandparents, and the parents are the pride of their children. So we see that this word here, pride, is kind of a benefit, a good thing. In fact, I looked up this word pride in the Hebrew dictionaries and whatnot, and it talks about something that it displays splendor or brings glory or an honor. It's one of those words that just kind of is kind of splendorous. In fact, it's translated as splendor in many cases we'll see this morning. But one definition of it says it's a state of being legitimately proud. A state of being legitimately proud. And I kind of like that definition. But it's something that you can boast about. Something you can take pleasure in. I also found somewhere, and I couldn't find it again. I found it one time, but it's kind of related to the word turban in Hebrew. And you might remember a few weeks ago, or maybe a little more than that, when we read through the book of Exodus, when our Bible read through. By the way, let's keep reading through that Bible. Keep going. But in Exodus, we see where the high priest Aaron was kind of given a turban to wear in his priestly duties. And on that turban was written on a gold plate, "Holy to the Lord." Okay? And you might remember that. And it's in Leviticus as well, where he actually gets that turban to put on him. But it's kind of that glory that we see in the crown. And we'll see that in several places as well here. But it set Aaron apart. It distinguished him. And so we see this idea that this pride is kind of a crown of splendor. Let me read you that here in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 9. It says, "Wisdom will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor." The word splendor there is pride that we saw in the previous verse in 17:6. So we see that you are presented with this crown of splendor. You have this thing on your head that kind of gives you pride. And of course, when we think of things on your head that gives you pride, we think of the other famous passage from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31. It says, "A gray hair is a crown of splendor that is attained by a righteous life." Okay, now, I think a lot of you like that verse because you have that gray hair in there, and I'm starting to get there with my beard and with my hair. But gray hair is splendor, okay? That's pride. You take pride in that you've gained maturity, wisdom, you've gained that understanding. And so there's a good thing about pride here. You see this idea of a splendor as well in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29. It says, "The glory of young men is their strength. Gray hair is a splendor of the old." Again, that kind of idea that this gray hair is splendor. And young men, actually the word glory there is a word that is the word for pride, okay? Splendor is another word in Hebrew in this verse. But glory is the splendor of young men. The glory, the pride of young men is their strength. And so you can take pride in your youthful strength, which, again, lifting that concrete block there, I'm not sure if I have too much of that left. But anyways, there's a lot of good things about pride in these verses. In fact, I'm not sure if you know this, but in high school, I was the valedictorian of my class. There was only 50 or 60 people there in our class, but I was a valedictorian. And so I was able to go up in front of our class on graduation time and actually give my valedictorian speech. And the topic I chose that day was pride. And I told them right away that pride isn't always bad things. Because in that day, that year that I had graduated, our school had a great budget crisis. I mean, they were short on funds, and one of the things they had to do was cut sports. And the community just did not like that at all. Cutting their football, cutting their basketball, would not hear of it. And so what they did in our community is raise funds. They did all kinds of fundraisers. They got this money together, and they paid for the sports for that year. It was kind of one of those things where the community just kind of rallied together right around the school, right around the students. And those seasons, in many of our sports, were some of the best seasons we had. And so I was able to stand up in front of them and say, "Hey, pride is a good thing. We had pride in our community. We had pride in our school. This is a good thing that we can take credit for, that we did this for our students to lift ourselves up, to kind of be that stepping stone, not a stumbling block." And so there are many good things that it's proud. In fact, Paul says in the New Testament, "Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." A great boast. You know, we can boast about certain things. However, I need to point out that even though this is the only word in Proverbs that is positive as far as pride, other passages in Scripture, especially in Isaiah, there's a couple places where this word is used negatively, okay? Those who talk about the ones who are arrogant and have an inflated view of themselves, those who lift themselves up, especially in Isaiah a couple times, it talks about those. I didn't put those up here on the screen this morning, but these words can also mean being haughty or not having that good pride that we see always in a positive way here in Proverbs. So there is a negative way to this pride as well. So we still need to be cautious, but be proud in those things and those circumstances that are not always bad. However, like I said, there are several Hebrew words that talk about pride, arrogance, being puffed up, that are very unrighteous. These words can mean haughty or having undue hubris. I love that word, hubris, because it kind of has that puffing up idea, the opposite of being humble, which we'll see in a minute. And it's exalting yourself. That's what pride means. And one of the words used for pride and haughtiness in the New Testament actually is rum. That's the Hebrew word, rum or room. And I looked it up in line. It has nothing to do with the alcoholic beverage that's famous for pirates. That's this made from sugarcane and whatnot. But I find it funny, though, that the word rum in our English today is the same pronunciation as the Hebrew word rum, which means proud or prideous, and how that alcoholic beverage sometimes puffs people up and makes them proud and boasting after they get drunk and whatnot. Find it kind of funny, but again, there's no connection etymologically there. But haughtiness and pride are often related in the Proverbs to sin. Here are several Proverbs telling us how God sees pride. Proverbs 6:16, very famous passage of Scripture. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. And the first one there is haughty eyes, eyes that are proud, eyes that are lifted up, eyes that are looking good at themselves. And so the first one out of the gate, that thing God hates, is haughty eyes, pride God hates. Someone else, I think it was Warren Wiersbe, also says, well, the last one that talks about the last things on this list of seven things that the Lord hates is stirring up dissension is kind of a possibility of pride as well, because pride kind of stirs up dissension as well. So that might be a possibility that first and last on this list of the seven biggest sins of the world is pride. So just leave that there for you. But elsewhere, pride is a sin as well. Proverbs 8:13 says this, I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. We see, and those are pretty strong words. I hate, I despise, they're detestable to me. Proverbs 16:5 says, the Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be assured this, they will not go unpunished. I mean, this is sin. This is something we need to watch out for. This is detestable. They will be punished. Here's other quotes. Another quote from Proverbs 21:4. Haughty eyes, a proud heart, and evil actions are all sin. Again, equating pride with sin, something that God hates. And so pride, for the most part, is sin. And it's something that God hates, detests. But why? Why is pride such a detestable thing, top of the list of the seven great sins that God lists? Because it's exalting yourself. It's actually lowering God down because you're trying to put yourself maybe even above God. Many times you unjustly raise yourself up, trying to be higher than God. People who are proud don't think they need God. They think they can do it on themselves. They think they have it together themselves. Maybe they think they're even better than God. And that's the heart of sin. Pride is the heart of sin. In fact, pride is the sin that caused Satan to fall. We read in Ezekiel. Sorry, trying to get the word out there. We read in Ezekiel how Satan fell because he wanted to be like God. He was that angel, the highest archangels, and he wanted to be brighter than God, and God cast him down, and it led to his downfall. So while boasting is something that we sometimes can do and kind of is a benefit and a good thing, make sure that our boasting is not about the wrong things or about in ourselves. Boast about the right things. Boast about God. Boast about things that he has done in your life. Do not boast about what you've done or who you are, because without God, we are nothing, right? Without God, we can do nothing. So boasting in what God has done in our life and not what we have done in our life is a good thing. But boasting about what we've done, lifting ourselves up, boasting brings a stumbling block and sin in our life. So we've seen, what is it? What is pride? It's lifting ourselves up. It's boasting in ourselves. But where do you find it? The second question about pride in the book of Proverbs answers is, where do you find it? Well, we'll see it comes from those who are not humble. Notice these verses that contrast what is pride with those who are humble. Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. And again, we're talking about wisdom here in the book of Proverbs. If you want wisdom, you've got to humble yourself. When pride comes, just disgrace comes, and wisdom only comes with humility. Wisdom leads to humility, not pride. Pride only points to how much we know, but pride comes from not understanding what wisdom really is. Proverbs 13:10 says, "Pride breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice." Notice that connection between getting advice and wisdom and being humble and accepting that wisdom, and pride, which just brings fights and quarrels and division. I kind of like what it says in 21:24 as well. It says, "Mockers are proud and haughty. They act with boundless arrogance." Boundless arrogance. Another one says that pride, that a man's pride brings him low, but a man of lowly spirit gains honor. And I kind of like that idea here that pride ends in humiliation, but what being humble lifts you up, right? Pride ends in humiliation, while humiliation or humility brings honor. So would you rather have humiliation in your life or humbleness in your life? There's a difference. Both are lowliness, but one is brought low, the other is you lower yourself, right? And I like that idea of I'd rather be humble than be humiliated, right? That pride leads to our humiliation, but if we humble ourselves, we'll keep ourselves from being humbled. Pride comes from those who lift themselves up instead of God. We see this here in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 12. "Do you see a wise man in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him." Kind of like that. How if you're wise in your own eyes, you're worse than a fool. We have not yet focused on our study of fools in the book of Proverbs. But that's actually next week. We're going to talk about being foolish and not having that foolishness. But kind of a preview is fools are not highly thought of in Proverbs. If you read through the book of Proverbs, fools are kind of given the low end of the stick because they are not wanting wisdom. They're not wanting to know about what God has for them. They're the ones who refuse to listen or learn from wisdom. Their hearts are stubborn and hard, and they just are not going to listen. And this verse says that for a man to be proud of himself, he is worse than a fool. And that's saying a lot in the book of Proverbs, that pride is worse than being a fool. Because a fool may change. A fool might change in the end, but if you think you're better than anyone else, if you think you're good and pride is in your life, you'll never change. It'll lead only to destruction, as we just read. So pride comes from our own inflation of ourselves. It's kind of like an overinflated balloon. As the more you get inflated, the greater the possibility is it's going to pop, right? I was going to do that this morning, but I've had enough illustrations this morning. But that's what pride is. It's inflating ourselves, and it's just going to lead to a fall. Pride is looking at too highly of yourself. And the main problem with pride is when you start with just a little pride, it grows, doesn't it? Pride seems to grow, and it overwhelms you, and it grows uncontrollably. It's kind of like an unplucked weed. Those weeds, if you don't pluck them out, are just going to ruin your garden. Going to overwhelm you. You can never have enough humility, right? You can never lower yourself humbly before others. It's like what we talked about a few weeks ago about having too much sweets, having too much good things. It just ruins you. I like Proverbs 29:23. It says, that was kind of the idea. And I thought that was a different one. Here's another proverb. Pride ends in humiliation, while humility brings honor. Again, that raises you up. But here's the one that relates to food. It said, "It is not too good to eat too much honey, nor is it honorable to seek one's own honor." Just as you're trying to eat too much sweets, is pride getting to yourself. And so we see that this answer to what pride is, or where do we find it? It's in ourselves. We find it in ourselves. We find it like that root that needs to be dug out, that weed in our lives that grows and causes us to think too highly of ourselves. So what is the answer to this? And I missed my... Anyways, I missed another passage there. But anyways, what is the answer to humility? What we talk about Proverbs and pride, and we'll take a few more, but what is the answer to pride? And it's humility, right? We've seen this so far. Let's go back to the famous proverb, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 and 19. Actually, the verse after it gives us a very good insight as well. It says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. But then it says this, and I love this verse here, because it says, better to be lowly in spirit among the oppressed than to share the plunder with the proud. Right? It's better to be lowly. It's better to be among the poor, oppressed, despondent people and humble people than to be destroyed because you're proud and destroyed even trying to share in the plunder of being proud. Having humbleness, even if that means putting yourself aside along with the poor and oppressed, is better than living it up with the rich and famous, right? Because for the proud and destruction and the fall are coming. The proud are going to be brought low eventually because God hates pride. That's coming from our first point. So if you have pride, you're going to have that fall because God's going to come and bring down the mockers. We see this in chapter 3, verse 34. The Lord mocks the mockers, but is gracious to the humble. Very, very unique in that word there, because it's similar in English language. Mocks and mockers are the same kind of Hebrew word. He kind of mocks. He kind of makes fun of those who make fun of people, mocks them. But he's gracious to those who are humble. And that's the answer to pride, is humility. It even ties in with what we learned several weeks ago in Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Again, linking up that idea, the fear of the Lord, learning more about God's wisdom makes us humble. And that humbleness will lead to honor in God's eyes. Letting God raise you up is not pride. It's letting God do what he wants to do. We're humbling ourselves. It's being changed from a stumbling block into a stepping stone. Proverbs 18:12 says this, before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor. Again, that idea, humility will honor you. Kind of like how Moffat translates this verse. He says, haughtiness ends in disaster. To be humble is the way of honor. To be humble brings that honor. Again, that ties in a lot of these passages that we've talked about in Hebrews, Proverbs, about how humbleness and letting God raise you up when you're humble ties them all together. And this idea is mentioned elsewhere in this book. Proverbs 25:6, do not exalt yourself in the king's presence, and do not claim a place among the great men. It is far better for him to say, come up here, for the king to say, come up here, than for him to humiliate you before a nobleman. Right? It's better for the king to say, hey, you know, you're not supposed to be down there, come on up, than for the king to say, oh, no, you got to go down, 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 down. Right? We don't want that. But if you're humble, then God will raise us up. It kind of reminds me of what Jesus says in the New Testament. Remember, this looks familiar passage from Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 8. Jesus is saying, when someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come to you and say, give this man your seat. Then, humiliated, you'll have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when the host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you'll be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. And then here's the kicker line that Jesus says at the end there. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. How much better is that? How much better is it to have someone else lift you up than to try to lift up yourself? How wonderful it is for that. And Peter tells us in his first epistle this. 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. You see, we don't need to lift ourselves up, because if so, we will fall. But if we let ourselves be humbled, if we follow what God wants us to do in our lives, we will be exalted. So humility is better than humiliation. We see Proverbs, again, another proverb here. A lot of them refer to pride and humiliation and praise. Proverbs 27 verse 2 says, let another praise you and not your own mouth, someone else, and not from your own lips. We should not believe our own press. We should not believe our own crediting. So that's another proverb. We should not believe our own press. Kind of reminds me of a man, you probably have heard of him, Houdini, famous magician in the early 1900s. But he was a man who believed his own pressings. He would actually go into town trying to get the press to see him to kind of get his name out there. And that's how his name became so famous, because he would do stunts and magical things in front of the newspaper offices and the telegraph offices. And that would get him a lot of press, and he would get all kinds of publicity. But it led to his downfall, because he boasted that he could withstand a punch to his stomach thrown to him because he had his muscles and was so fit and whatnot. But one time he was not ready for the punch, and someone punched him in the stomach, and it caused his appendix to burst, and he died. It led to his fall because he believed his own press. Don't let that happen to you. The answer to pride is humility, to being humble and letting God lift us up. And it too is linked to the fear of the Lord. Again, Proverbs 22:4, humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. Humbleness instead of pride. Lowliness instead of being lifted up. Being a stepping stone instead of a stumbling block. That's what Proverbs is telling us here. This is the answer to pride. Because it tells us that pride, what is it? It's sin. It's lead to our downfall. It's destructive in our lives. And we find it in those people who puff themselves up, who blow themselves up, who believe their own pressings. And the answer to it, the God's answer to it in Proverbs, being humble, lowering ourselves. Only destruction is ahead of us if we don't. But I like how the book of Proverbs sums up Solomon's teaching. At the end of Proverbs, there's several other authors that we mentioned. And there's a man named Augur that at the end of Proverbs kind of does a summary here. I like what he says in Proverbs 30, verse 32. If you've been a fool by being proud or plotting evil, cover your mouth in shame. If you've been a fool by being proud, stop it. Stop it. Just cover your mouth. Don't do it anymore. Don't speak proudly of yourself. Clamp your hand firmly over your mouth. Right? That's what God wants us to do with pride. Just stop it. Be humble. Lower ourselves. And I hope that we'll see that pride is not always a good thing and often leads to bad things. But being humble will steer us in the right direction.